Let's turn this morning to Proverbs chapter 15. As you heard me in my prayer, I did speak with Ruth this week, and she is doing better. She is feeling better, and if there's ever someone that can be an encouragement here, Ruth can barely see now. She's 90 years old. She can barely read with a magnifying glass. She can no longer drive. And she said this week that was one of the hardest things for her, was to give up driving, giving up her car. And her grandchildren, I believe, are coming this week to get her car. And she says, "But I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed." She says, "I have such good neighbors and everyone that watches after her where she lives there." And she's very thankful. She's not, what she said about her eyesight or about her knees was like that to compared to how much she felt she was blessed. And she's not a complainer. She's just a wonderful, wonderful lady. Proverbs chapter 15. We've been working our way through the book of Proverbs now for nearly 8 years. And we are at chapter 15 and verse 19 this morning. "The way of the slothful man is an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain." Let's turn back now to over to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 30. "I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction." As we look at this morning, the way of the slothful man is an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. I would hope that we might also receive instruction from that which we're going to look at. It is a picture of a neglected garden. And I want to say, even before I proceed here, that this message has no one in particular in mind. This message comes to me as much as it does to each and every one of you. And it is a fearful text. It is a picture of a neglected garden. The slothful man, who is sometimes referred to in Scripture as a sluggard, Proverbs 6:6. "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise." Here the slothful or the sluggard is instructed to go to a little ant and to consider the ways of the ant and to become wise. Chapter 13, verse 4. "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." Here we see the soul of the slothful or the sluggard desires to have and has nothing, by contrast to the soul of the diligent that will be made fat. In Proverbs 20, chapter 4. "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Again, the picture of the sluggard. There's always going to be something in their life that is going to put them off. The picture that we have here is like that of a man that is asleep when everything is wrong that's going on around him. Instead of the flower, you see the thorn. Instead of a well-cared garden, you see that it is full of weeds. Where there should be beauty, there is only unsightfulness. And where there should be fruitfulness, there is only barrenness. A sense of ruin is written over everything in this picture. And the message here, as we read in Proverbs 24, 30 through 32, is that at the end of verse 32, I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. What needs to be considered well is that a life of negligence, a life of half-heartedness in any area of our lives means one thing, and that is that it is going to bring about a life of decay, a breakdown, and finally, ruin. Poverty is on the way in a life that is characterized by negligence and half-heartedness. And that poverty is certainly going to be knocking at the door. Now here's the thing. We all have a garden which God has given us to cultivate. And that garden that God has given us to cultivate has more value than any amount of acreage that we could ever imagine. It is something so valuable that no amount of money could buy it. And that garden is our very soul. And when you think of the contrast, if you've ever looked at Better Homes and Gardens, if you've ever looked at the contrast between the before and the after pictures or Country Magazine or any of those publications, where you have what is a before picture and an after picture. This would be the contrast of a well cared for garden versus the contrast of one that has been left to its own, where there has been nothing but negligence over that garden. Now God has charged us to cultivate this garden, the garden of our souls. What is involved in that? What is involved in cultivating the garden of our soul? There has to be the preparation of the soil. It must be weeded before any planting can take place. It must have a constant water supply. It's going to have to be fertilized. And should one be surprised if weeds begin to spring up in that garden, even after all of that care that's been taken? No. It will take a constant watching over. Because when those weeds spring up, they need to be rooted out at the very, very beginning, as soon as you see one crop up. And so it is with our spiritual lives. There has to be that preparation. There has to be that weeding, that the sins in our life have to be weeded out. They have to be hated. It's not something that we cherish the weeds. It's not something that we go down and pour water upon the weeds that they might grow to be bigger in our lives. We don't want them there. We need to be able to recognize these weeds when they grow up in our spiritual garden, the garden of our soul. And if we are unfamiliar with the Word of God, how are we going to recognize that which is error and that which is falsehood if we are unfamiliar with the Word of God? And there has to be that constant water supply, the water of the Word. If we are, as I said, unfamiliar with the Word of God, and if we are laxed in our study of the Word and in our reading of the Word, that garden is not going to grow to its full potential. And it has to be fertilized and fertilized and fertilized. It needs to be weeded of error and prejudice. And then to plant. And what is it that should be planted in this garden? Righteousness, purity of heart, integrity of heart, love. And to build there walls that are strong, walls that are strong, protecting habits. Those are the walls that need to be built around that spiritual garden. Strong walls and strong walls of protecting habits, which will fence and guard the soul from intruding enemies. But sadly to say, there are all too many who treat this garden of the soul, which is actually an estate, they treat it with carelessness, with negligence. They throw all their energies into other things, into their business, into their love, into their politics, into their hobbies, into their pleasures. But themselves and their own spirit, their own character, their own soul, they neglect. And what is it to neglect the soul? How difficult is it to neglect one's soul? It is to do absolutely nothing. That is to neglect the soul. That is what it is to neglect that garden. You can plant that garden and have that garden and have all the right seed in that garden, the very best seed. But then if you walk away and neglect it and do absolutely nothing to it, the only thing that will happen is that that garden will be taken over by weeds and there will be no fruit from that garden. Sad indeed are the results of the foolish and guilty negligence. And the picture of the slothful or the sluggard's garden is there for everyone to see. This garden can't be hid. It's your life. It's your soul. It is visible to God, the all-seeing eye, and it is visible to everyone else around you as well. It cannot be hid. If the garden is neglected, it is going to be seen by everyone. If it is well cared for, it is going to be seen by everyone. If it is as if it were on display all of the time for everyone to see. It's like going to the fair. You've been to the fair, you've seen the beautiful gardens that they have at the fair, and you go and you look at them and you judge them. Whether you judge them as a judge, you judge them yourself as to how well they're cared for. Our lives are the same way. They are on display for everyone to see and for everyone to judge accordingly. Now, what about the unsightliness? What a picture that we have here. Proverbs 15:19. The way of the slothful man is in a hedge of thorns. And then our corresponding verse in chapter 24:30, when we read, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. This is a picture of weeds and thistles and thorns and a broken wall. And we would look upon that and we would turn away from that with disgust, because it would disgust us over the negligence of this so-called garden. And what of that neglected garden of the soul? Instead of the beautiful flowers of Christian reverence and love, and their fruits of holiness and zeal, and the strong walls of noble character, and those strong protecting habits, they are seen by God, and all that is seen is these unsightly weeds, the weeds of transgression, of selfishness, of self-centeredness, of untruthfulness, and possibly even the thorns of intemperance and impurity and profanity. John Gill says, listen very carefully, John Gill says, this way is either really being made so by his own conduct, that by his slothfulness has implicated and entangled himself in such difficulties that he cannot extricate himself. His way is not passable, at least not very easily. It is as it were hedged up with thorns. He raises such difficulties about doing business, which seem to him insurmountable, and discourage him from attempting it. It being like breaking through thorns and briars to attend the duties of public worship, prayer, and the hearing of the word is very irksome to him. John Gill says that this unsightly garden that has been so neglected is by this person that even the attending of duties of public worship and prayer and the hearing of the word becomes irksome to him. It's like trying to break through those thorns and those thistles. It's just so tight, so tightly woven, that it's impassable. And it becomes to the neglected gardener that it's insurmountable. And so he just sits down and forgets about the whole thing. Proverbs 22:5. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. To the one that's keeping his soul, it's not going to be like this. His way is a way that we read about here, the way made plain of the righteous. That means it's like a highway. It goes straight on through. It's not cumbered about with all of these thorns and thistles and a broken wall. Verse 13 of Proverbs chapter 22. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. There's always going to be something that is going to keep the slothful from doing whatever it is. It's going to be a problem. Something this big can be this big to the slothful. And the problem is that, as Bridges says, it is more in the mind than it is in reality. It is something that is built up in the mind that really doesn't exist at all. The same problems face the righteous and the godly. But to the righteous and the godly, they go on and on and on. They do what? They persevere unto the end. John Gill goes on to say, "But the way of the righteous is made plain. It is a cast up way. It signifies a causeway or a highway. He finds no difficulty. It is so plain. It is not grievous and troublesome, but on the contrary, finds it very delightful, the way of the righteous." Psalm 1, verse 2. Let's begin at verse 1, Psalm 1:1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night." 16, chapter 3 of Psalm. Psalm 16, chapter 3. "But to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight." And verse 40, chapter 40, verse 8. What does the psalmist say here? "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." When God's law is in your heart, it is your delight to do His will. Does that mean that the way is not going to be without its difficulties? Certainly you will have difficulties. Are they insurmountable difficulties? No, they are not. The righteous man walks at liberty, with pleasure, and without offense or stumbling. Now, Bridges says that of the slothful man, he is always at a stand. Every effort is like forcing his way through a hedge of thorns. Indecision, delay, and sluggishness add to his difficulties and paralyze his exertion. So that after a feeble struggle of conscience with much to do, but no heart to do anything, he gives up the effort. Bridges describes this man, this slothful man, as being at a stand. Any effort that he's going to make is going to be like trying to force his way through this hedge of thorns. And that hedge of thorns is made up of indecision, delay, sluggishness. All of this just add to the difficulties, and then they begin to paralyze the individual. Where with the righteous, and that's who this slothful man is compared to. He's compared to the righteous, not the diligent, in this passage. In the passage that we're looking at in 15:19, the comparison is to the righteous. And it is to the righteous that way is made plain. So while that way may be difficult for the righteous, he's not at a stand. He's moving. He has a job to do, and he's going to do it. And he's not going to be put off by some slight difficulties along the way. He's going to persevere. And for you young people, life is like that. You're going to have difficulties throughout life. You're going to have hard decisions to make. Don't be overcome with the decision. Don't be overcome with the difficulty. push on through it. It's that way with the slothful, that he's going to, with his garden, and just as the slothful is going to be taken over, it's too cold today to go out and work in the garden. It's too hot today to go out and work in the garden. It looks to me like it's going to rain. I'm just going to sit here and do nothing and watch the weeds grow in my garden. That's the life of the slothful and the sluggard. The life of the diligent, the life of the righteous is going to be up. I've got to get out and do that. It doesn't make any difference what the weather is like. And so it is in the spiritual life. Because in all of this message, ladies and gentlemen, this is about life and death. This is the Word of God that we are dealing with. These are inescapable things. And as our life is moving on, we are a day older today than we were yesterday. We are a day closer to meeting the Lord today than we were when we left our homes this morning. Is it something that should be taken lightly? All because of a lack of a purpose of heart. See, if you profess to be a believer, if you profess to be born again, this message is speaking to you. How is your life in comparison? When all of these gardens are laid out on display, what does your garden look like? Does your garden look like it's going to be one of the before pictures or one of the after pictures? Is your garden a picture of, is your spiritual life a picture of one that is well weeded and one well cared for and well watered by the Word of God? Or is it a picture of one that has been neglected, where the Word of God has been closed up and put on the shelf and neglected? Because that's what it gets down to. And I think we'll pick up there this evening. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious Word of God. What are we to do with the Word of God? Lord, we stand before you. We have your Word that is so clear. We pray, Lord, for everyone from the front wall to the back and from side to side that has heard this message. We pray, Lord, that we would not leave this place unaffected, and that we would be more than temporarily affected. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to our very hearts this day. That where we have seen neglect in our spiritual garden, that we would begin to take on that insurmountable task of removing those thorns and those thistles that are growing over a broken down wall, and that we would begin to remove them and repair that wall. And repair that wall with habits of diligence, spiritually good habits, and that we would clear our lives of these things that have led to this spiritual negligence. And we pray, Lord, that we may begin and that we may return to our first love, that we may repent and return. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.